And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, on the second Sunday after the Epiphany, we read in our gospel lesson the story of Christ's baptism. This is a multifaceted event, but I want for us to think particularly today about why Jesus was baptized. You will recall the background. John the Baptist had been sent to prepare the way of the Lord. He went out to the Jordan River and was calling on all of Israel to submit to his baptism of repentance. This act of repentance was intended to prepare them to meet their Messiah. But in our lesson, we have Jesus, the Messiah, appearing where John was baptizing. Why would he do this, since we are told over and over again in the scriptures that he was without sin? In other words, he had no reason to repent. Even John the Baptist recognized this. He told his audience, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." But then Jesus showed up at the Jordan. St. Matthew actually tells us in his account that John tried to deter Jesus from being baptized. In fact, he said, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And then Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." So John then consented. So with these statements in mind, we can clear away any thought that Jesus was baptized for any benefit for himself, namely, because he had no sins to turn away from. Rather, Jesus was baptized for us. This is a guiding principle. Everything that Jesus did ultimately was for us. So what exactly did Jesus accomplish for us in his baptism? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is too broad to broach in one sermon, but let me point to two benefits in particular which we have received through his baptism. First, Jesus established baptism as a source of new life. You see, there's an intricate connection between Christ's baptism and ours. In fact, when he stepped into the waters of the Jordan that day, he transformed John's baptism into something totally new. As John said, he was baptizing in preparation for the Messiah's arrival. But when the Messiah arrived, he would transform baptism into something new and greater. The evangelist tells us that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. This actually echoes the opening verses of the book of Genesis, where we're told that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, fashioning the creation. When the Spirit descends this second time upon Jesus, he is fashioning the new creation. A whole new humanity is being established in Jesus. Whereas the first man, Adam, brought death to his posterity through his sin, Jesus, as the new and righteous Adam, brought life to all who come to him. And where is that new life found? In the waters of baptism, where we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That is where we are joined to Christ. As St. Paul says elsewhere, we are buried with him in the likeness of his death and are raised to walk in newness of life. Furthermore, St. Paul says elsewhere, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In his baptism, Jesus established Christian baptism as the source of new life. When those waters are poured over us in the divine name, we are made new. As Jesus told Nicodemus, we are born again of water and the Holy Spirit. Second, Jesus established baptism as a source of forgiveness. John's baptism was a sign of repentance. It was an act of contrition by which one demonstrated to God that he was turning from his sin in preparation to meet the Messiah. But when Jesus stepped into the waters that day, something greater happened. Our baptismal office actually picks up on this in the prayer book when it says that he sanctified water to the mystical washing away of sin. In other words, when Jesus entered the waters that day, the waters did not cleanse him. Rather, he cleansed the waters. Some of the ancient iconography in the church actually brings this out by showing, if you look in the corner of the icon, when Jesus enters into the water to be baptized, you'll see some demons fleeing from the water. His baptism transformed the sacrament of baptism into a means of cleansing. In part, this is because there is a connection between Christ's baptism and his death, burial, and resurrection. That is, when Christ was baptized, it foreshadowed his death, burial, and resurrection. So now, the grace that flowed from his redeeming work is imparted to us at our baptism. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it is for the purpose of washing away our sin. When this happens for a little baby who has not committed any sins of his own, then baptism washes away the sin of his parents, which was passed on to the child. But if it is an adult, then baptism washes away both the sinful nature inherited from our parents as well as the actual sins which we have committed. Sins committed after baptism are forgiven through confession and absolution and through receiving the Holy Eucharist. So as we think of Jesus' baptism, there is an intricate connection with our own baptism. I pointed to two reasons in particular. First, by being baptized, Jesus established baptism as the source of new life. And secondly, by being baptized, Jesus establishes baptism as the source of forgiveness. Now, I'd like to conclude by making two further connections with our own context today related to this. As you all know, this week marks the 47th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion in our nation. That decision has resulted in the loss of countless lives. It is inconceivable that the one who came to bring life into this world would condone our culture of death. Bottom line, this is a moral issue for us. The church needs to be found on the side of Jesus, who came that we might have life. But secondly, we are reminded that the same one who came to bring life also came to bring forgiveness. And that forgiveness extends to all who turn to him. This is especially important because there are so many in our society who have been affected in one way or another by the decision of Roe v. Wade. For any who were persuaded by that decision to take certain actions, we need to make sure that they know that Jesus Christ offers his grace and forgiveness to them. They don't have to live under that burden. Jesus came to take it away. As one of our comfortable words reminds us, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. His forgiveness is available to all who will turn to him. So today we celebrate the momentous occasion of our Savior's baptism because he did it for us. He entered those waters so that they might become a source of new life. And he entered those waters so that they might be sanctified for the mystical washing away of sin. Let us praise our good and gracious Savior for the forgiveness and new life that he gives us through baptism. Amen. And let us now remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."